see movies about secret agents, often there's this packet that is given to these guys at the beginning of the movie, and on the title it says, "For Your Eyes Only." And what that means is that only their eyes are qualified for that material, that information, and they're authorized to see it. Well, the gospel message is a spiritual message, and God must make the person qualified to receive it and to see it, see what it really means and see what it really says. And that authorization has been given to those who do see it by the Holy Spirit. We're authorized by the Spirit. And that's why this text that was read about the Spirit's coming and about how the Spirit was going to help us to see what no eye has seen, and is why we call this, or why I've called this, For Our Eyes Only. And it's not an elitist or that we're special people. It's the knowledge that's special, and the manner that God has allowed that knowledge to be given to us is special. Pentecost celebrates that specialness. Pentecost celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit in a corporate way, but we also have to look at it as the establishment of the church, which is a group of individuals. And God speaks to us on an individual basis. The Holy Spirit revealed himself again and again in the Old Testament, and he would come upon different people at different times. But in the New Testament, this Spirit has been given to the whole church, to all believers. And it's not just an isolated story as you read about in the Old Testament. So now the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we are all temples of the Holy Spirit. The church is like a corporate house of God, not this building or any building, no matter how beautiful it is. That's not the house of God. The house of God are the people of God. And we individually, our bodies, are temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, anyone can read the Bible. And readers who do read the Bible, they vary. They're not all the same in how they respond to it. They don't profit from it in the same way. Some look at this book and say, that's a very interesting religious book. And that's about as deep as they go. And some people may experience enlightenment. There are people who, for the first time in their life as an adult, they'd never seen it as a child, and they picked up the Bible and started reading it, and they said, like one of the a philosopher in France that I read about, he said as he was reading the Bible, he said, "Wow, this is a book. I finally found a book that understands me." And he was talking about how it opened his own heart for him to see what his heart was really like and how it needed to be changed. So some people read the Bible and it leads them to an enlightenment. That is the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. And then there are people who are converted and they are exploring. They get to explore and understand what this conversion was about. What is this whole thing of conversion? Because like when I was 9 years old, I was converted. That's the time when I came to the Lord. I realized I needed to repent and accept Christ. I didn't know what all that meant. But a change took place. And since that time, especially as I grew older and this book became more precious to me, I began to see the things that basically people don't see until they're seeing from the other side. They're seeing from the converted side, or the side where the Holy Spirit is resident within our hearts. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, is to make us aware of God's offer of salvation. If we don't have salvation, if we don't have Jesus in our heart, he makes us aware in some way, perhaps through a sermon like this or through this scripture passage. But he also expounds and explains to the believer the great depths of what God has done through this salvation. He explains our salvation to us. And the more that we embrace God's truth, the more the Holy Spirit will reveal. Now, it's no mystery that there are mysteries with God. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That is the scripture that begins this passage. And it's not strange that humans can't discover God's ideas and plans. It's not strange that that's the case, because God himself is a mystery. When George Lucas, the maker of the Star Wars film, put the Force in there, he had something to say about that idea of the Force. I don't know, how many saw Star Wars? Well, a few of you. Maybe you heard a lot about it. Well, anyway, in the Star Wars film, there was this idea about the Force. And the Force was this background, a spiritual background behind everything. And so he said this. This is what he said about it afterwards. He said, "I put the Force in the movie in order to awaken a certain kind of spirituality in young people. More a belief in God than a belief in any particular religious system. I wanted to make it so that young people would begin to ask questions about the mystery. Not having enough interest in the mysteries of life to ask the question, is there a God or is there not a God? This is, for me, the worst thing that can happen. I think you should have an opinion about that. Or you should be saying, I'm looking, I'm very curious about this, and I'm going to continue to look until I find an answer. And if I can't find an answer, then I'll die trying." I like that. And I like that George Lucas did that. You know, years ago when that film came out, there was a lot of talk about this idea of the Force, and people were starting to think, not just in materialistic terms, but in spiritual terms. Now, humans are created in the image of our Maker. And so we have a measure of wisdom and understanding, as our Creator does, as God does. But in comparison to God, we're just like a little puffy cloud of water molecules. You know, like steam coming up out of a boiling pot or something. You know that steam is? All it is just a lot of molecules of water. Thousands of, well, millions, billions of them. Well, that little cloud is like a comparison to God, is like, that's our understanding, our wisdom, is like comparing it to a galaxy of stars that are bigger than our sun, but they're light years apart, and they're just gigantically big. Well, that would make, really, when you think about that, those two comparisons, this is an astronomical comparison. There is no comparison, is there? There is no comparison. And that's what God tries to get across to us in Isaiah 55. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." There's no comparison. There is no comparison. God is so far above us. And any artist who begins to do art and see the minuscule amount of that, what we can produce in a lifetime, compared to what is around us just on this little speck of dust that's spinning around in this solar system. We are just a tiny little speck, and look at all the creativity on this speck. And then if you turn your eyes out to the heavens and you see the galaxies, the myriad galaxies of God's creation, you say, yeah, no comparison. There's just no comparison. And we're just privileged to be able to follow our God in his image, being designers and creators in art. Well, the mystery of God's plan, the mystery of God's plan for our salvation and our future destiny in a renewed universe, which is what he's talking about, was meant to be made known. Even though it has been hidden from people because they just can't understand. They just can't, oh, I can't believe that. That's just too far out. It's a mystery that's meant to be made known. Ephesians in chapter 6, Paul is asking this as a prayer request. He says, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." Now, it's a mystery because in times past it was hidden. It was hidden and not understood. But secondly, it's a mystery because those who have not received the Holy Spirit still look at it and say, I can't believe that. I can't accept that for myself. It's just too far out. For that to be true, it's just too far out. And in a sense, that's sort of like a mystery novel. You know that if you have a mystery novel and you've read it, You know the mystery, don't you? Those who haven't read it, they haven't figured out the plot. They haven't figured out the mystery. It keeps them reading all the way through. But to both people, it's still called a mystery novel, isn't it? And that's like the gospel. This that we preach is a mystery. And yet those who are on the other side in understanding know the mystery. We have received it. Or as Christians, we are learning it, because that's what the job of the Holy Spirit is. His ministry is to reveal to the unconverted that they need this gospel, this good news about Christ. And to those who are on the inside who have accepted Christ, let me tell you what you've bought. You know, it's almost like a person who opens up the manual of a car and says, well, what did I really buy here? And I bought this camera. I'm still trying to figure out my camera. I mean, end up, a person has bought a camera recently. There's so many buttons on that thing, and it does so many things. I still haven't figured it out. It's almost like you have to take a course or a class on it. But it's still just like the gospel. It's a mystery to some people until they begin to step over the border. Now, it's no mystery that there are mysteries with God. But people fail to get passionate, like George Lucas was trying to get people passionate about just about the idea of God, or at least asking the question. They fail to get passionate about learning what these divine mysteries are that God wants to reveal to us. And what happens is that, just like in this moving spirit thing, that the article I wrote, each of us has a muscle on the inside. And that muscle, we can use it in various ways. We can use it to hold on to fear, or we can use it to hold on to faith. Both are a belief. They really are. But we have that muscle, but we need to use that muscle. And some people are using that muscle to trust in ideas from their fellow humans about God and His plans. It's the best you can think up. It's almost like the idea of the Force in the Star Wars movie. It really wasn't an explanation. It was just something that was thought up by a man. And there are various religions that have had great philosophical thinking behind them. But it's still man's thinking. It's still the little cloud of water molecules. What we need is information from the one who has all of these galaxies spinning in this gigantically big universe. That's the mind we need to connect with. That is the mind of our Creator. That's what we need to connect with. The true force of God. What is the force? Well, the force of God is the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. And He's in this world now, since the day of Pentecost, in a special way, to reveal truth to everyone who is open and willing to receive it. He doesn't do it to people who are closed and don't even give it. They don't care. They don't care what God has to say. If that's the case, the Holy Spirit holds back. He will not cast His pearls before swine, as Jesus said. You don't do that. What God will do, when He sees an opening, He will, through the Holy Spirit, drop something. He'll just drop something. As I was in my design class, I was mentioning to people, I said, you know, they were saying, what's the idea behind design? I said, well, you know, I think there's a theological meaning behind it. First of all, look around us and we see all this design, and then we're designers, but we're on a limited basis. Therefore, there's an ultimate designer, and we're like Him. We've been given, of all the creatures on the planet, we're the ones that do art, you know. So it's interesting. It's interesting. We are designed in the design of a designer. And when we are open and willing to receive the knowledge from the mind of God, then we are in a group, a special group. And this knowledge is for our eyes only. It's something that we see because the Holy Spirit revealed it to us. Now, it's no mystery that God is a God of revelation as well. It says, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us who by His Spirit. Because we love Him. We love Him, and He has a relationship with us, and He gives us His Spirit for that reason. Well, God's a God of revelation in nature, as I've been talking about. His glory as a creative designer is broadcast throughout the universe. He said this in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. God speaks through nature. God broadcasts his existence and his wisdom and his glory through nature. God's revelation of himself in nature is so obvious. It is so obvious that he holds everyone accountable for that revelation in nature. He says in Romans chapter 1, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made, so that men are without excuse." And we are. When we look around at nature, listen, here's what I believe about the judgment, in a way, it's sort of like a colloquial way of looking at it. We're not going to have God pointing his finger at us. No, no. We're going to have flowers standing up. We're going to have trees looking, putting their hands like this and looking at us and saying, and being given a voice and saying, "What were you thinking? You saw us all that time. What in your..." And you know what? We were created in his image and we obeyed him entirely. You were given a free will and you did not. That'll be the judgment, I believe. God will just have to show us nature again, and this time let nature speak clearly to our hearts. You rejected the Creator, which we did not. Well, when it comes to his divine involvement in his salvation plan, because God is involved, this is not just a mechanical thing. God is involved with humanity in a salvation plan. God's revelation is more personal and direct than just in nature. It's more personal. And this is what Jesus was trying to say when he was talking to Nicodemus the Pharisee. And he said, "I tell you the truth." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. No one can see. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And he said, it's the new birth by the Spirit. So this idea of our eyes seeing things, you know, you can see churches, you can see church buildings, you can see, you can hear preachers, you can hear them with your ears, you can contemplate God's existence, and that has been done by philosophers down through the history, but you cannot know the reality of God in your heart unless the Holy Spirit gives us the new birth that we need and brings us into the kingdom, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the only definition I've ever found in Scripture that is an is definition of what the kingdom is. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. That's when you see it. And as Christians, we get to know it more and more. So this gospel is a revelation for our eyes only, not because we are an elite group. It's not for that reason. God's mystery of love to us is because we have yielded to the Holy Spirit by placing our faith and trust in Christ and his work on the cross. That's the key. That is the way we get to know. And as we embrace more and more the revelation of God through the Holy Spirit, he reveals more and more about this salvation to us. Now, it's no mystery that the world can't see it. It's no mystery that the world can't see it. The mind of God, God's mind, God's plans, God's purposes must be revealed by the Spirit of God. We can't just say, "I want the mind of God." Well, if you want the mind of God, he has a process. And that he will not speak to us except through his Spirit. In fact, Jesus did not begin his ministry until he was baptized and the dove descended upon him. And then he began his teaching ministry. Because he said, "All that I share with you, I'm doing it as a human. and I only share with you what I have received from my Father. I do not speak on my own. He gave us the example of what it means to be human, a full human, a godly human, one that is connected to the Spirit of God for what we do and what we speak. The mind of God must be revealed by the Spirit. It says in this passage, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We must have the Holy Spirit. People only see what is revealed to them. In this world, without a Bible, people can have the knowledge of the existence of God. That's what we've seen in nature. By nature and by conscience. Even though conscience can be twisted in different ways, there's still an idea of right and wrong in every culture. And then, in Old Testament times, people got glimpses of this salvation plan. They didn't have the whole story. In fact, that's probably why they rejected it when Christ came, because they had an obscure knowledge of it, and they were not willing to let go of that obscure knowledge to a fuller knowledge. And then even while Jesus was here in his teaching ministry, the disciples didn't get it. They were still asking sort of nonsensical questions right before he ascended. And I wonder what Jesus was thinking as he ascended. They still haven't got it, and I'm leaving. But he knew that the Holy Spirit was coming. And he said, he will guide you into all truth. And so he had assurance that he was leaving them in good hands when the Holy Spirit came. Only after Pentecost could God's redemption plan be fully seen. Not even while Jesus was teaching in the Gospels. If you look that way, you'll not see it completely revealed. It's only after the Spirit came that he began to expound it to us. So don't be surprised if your faith is criticized and ridiculed by people, by this world. You know, Paul said that Christ's gospel was religiously offensive, and it was intellectually silly. It was religiously offensive to the Jews, and it will be to other religions as well. It was intellectually silly or foolishness to the Greek mind, which was highly developed in philosophy and the arts and everything. In economy, in government, and everything. The Greeks were great, and Rome borrowed a great deal from the Greeks in their empire. But they will look at the gospel and say, that's foolishness. That doesn't fit with reality. There's a bigger reality than people know. Before the invention of the microscope and the telescope, bacteria and galaxies were invisible. And if you'd have gone back in time and you'd try to tell people about bacteria and galaxies, they would have thought you were crazy. They would say, this guy's crazy. Why? They couldn't see it. We can see it today, and now we know. And we can speak with confidence about galaxies and about bacteria. But the world can't see this gospel because they do not have God's microscopic or telescopic vision. You know, it's much like that. Looking into the heart, the Holy Spirit exposes our heart. But looking at the destiny of the future is fantastic. The resurrection and the renewal of the universe, which no longer under that second law of thermodynamics of decay, but it's totally progressing in a way that's fantastic. And us, to live in immortal bodies in that universe forever. That is something that is beyond our imagination. The microscopic and the telescopic view of the Holy Spirit blows our mind. It takes a lifetime of learning about it and just praising God for it, so that you end on your dying breath, you can praise the Lord. You know? And that's what our humanity down here is. But it's nothing like it's going to be compared to. We can't imagine it. It's beyond comprehension as we try to comprehend it. But we can get a view of it down here through the Holy Spirit. Well, the world doesn't have that viewpoint. They don't have that vision. We have not received the spirit of the world, it says in verse 12 here, but the Spirit of God, so that we may understand what God has freely given. given to us. Freely. Why freely? Because we didn't work for it. Jesus did the work on the cross. All we have to do is embrace Him. Make Him the Lord of our lives. And we are in. We're on the in group. And this becomes for our eyes only. God's Spirit is available both to that same world that can't see it right now. God's Spirit is available to them if they will be willing to do God's will. They will know. That's what Jesus said. He gave a promise. He said, if you're willing to do God's will, not that you can figure it out yourself, but if you are willing to do God's will, He will make it known to you. You just have to be willing. Many times when I talk to people about salvation or about Christian conversion, I don't talk to them first about the gospel. I talk to them about a willingness of their will, because I know that once they're willing, I don't have to share very much. All I have to say, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. God entered into humanity in the best way possible so that He could take upon Himself what we got ourselves into, the fix we got ourselves into. And all of a sudden, when they're willing to do God's will, they say, wow, does that make sense? Then God really is a God of love, more than I ever realized. Wow. And they're ready to accept Christ. God is available for the world, but He's also especially available to us to teach us and to help bring enlightenment to us about this wonderful salvation that we have received. And the more we embrace God's truth, the more He will reveal the rest of our life. Let's pray. Father God, thank You again for Your word. What a blessing. Lord, I've had such a great amount of fun going through these scriptures to think about them and know how wonderful they are about our salvation. Lord, I pray that You would help us more and more to be open to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if there's anyone here that has not yet made that step across that line and they are not in that group that have the Holy Spirit, I pray, Father God, today they would be willing to do Your will. They would look at the gospel and see it for the first time in their lives, what it really means to be a Christian, to have Christ on the inside, to have the Holy Spirit indwelling, to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father God, they would make that decision. And us, Lord, help us to more and more understand it so that it will overflow in our lives to the lives of others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.